Did you see that they are dropping the Mr. from Mr. Potato Head? Late Night did. Jimmy Kimmel said, there was a major announcement from Mr. Potato headquarters today. Hasbro is dropping the bro. Colbert said, Mr. Potato Head is no longer a mister, and not as I originally assumed, because he had finally finished his PhD, his Potato Head doctorate, Colbert. No, it's because Hasbro is giving the Spud a gender-neutral new name, Potato Head. But if it's not assigned a gender, what bathroom will it use? Colbert. Naturally, when this news hit Twitter, the world's top idiots weighed in. Piers Morgan tweeted, who was actually offended by Mr. Potato Head being male? I want names. Those woke imbeciles are destroying the world. Yes, they're destroying the world. How will children grow up without a strong male potato role model? Won't someone think of the tots? Kimmel. Even in death, they found a way to cancel Don Rickles. Kimmel. Why are we still putting eyes and lips on potatoes anyway? Isn't that what children did during the Depression? And Kimmel, by the way, Hasbro isn't the only one dumping the mister. From now on, these popular American products will be known as Salty, Peanut, Rogers, Tea, and Clean. No word yet from Magoo, but we'll see. From the Daily Mail, Ricky Gervais was on Lorraine, which I have learned is some sort of daytime television program you Brits watch. Okay, fine. Ricky said, it's odd that TV executives second guess what the public say. Oh, we shouldn't say that. We can't take that. That's why things are watered down. We're second guessing what people can take. He was talking about Afterlife, saying real life is scarier than fiction. That's why things are watered down. We're second guessing what people can take. When you deal with a taboo subject, people see themselves. Even I was worried. This is about a guy who loses his wife to cancer, is suicidal, and treats the world terribly as a punishment. People came up to me saying, you know, my brother died. You realize everybody's grieving and like seeing themselves reflected. Ricky talked about how stars can come under fire for the characters they play. Ricky said, it isn't you. I think people sometimes confuse a character an actor plays with them. Sometimes I'm like the character and sometimes I'm not. There's a bit of you in them because everything you write is autobiographical because you see the world through your eyes. It doesn't get good until they're arguing. If you watch a show where everyone agreed, that would be boring. We want conflict. Please stop saying you can't joke about anything anymore. You can. You can joke about whatever the F you like, and some people won't like it and they'll tell you they don't like it, and then it's up to you whether you give an F or not. So it's a good system. Ricky enjoys his work, saying, it's the best job in the world. I've been in the game for like 20 years. I choose my friends now. I cast my shows these days before I've written them, so I know who I'm writing for. That's awesome. That's fun as well. I'm meeting up with a group of friends. I'm going to do the Golden Globes tomorrow. I didn't feel like recording at midnight last night. It's the Golden Globes, not the Oscars. We'll catch up on that tomorrow. Eddie Murphy spoke to The Guardian. Eddie's making the rounds this week, pushing Coming to America. Eddie's now 59. Wow, time goes so fast. He said, I totally was not thinking about doing a sequel to Coming to America, T.O., because the story ended and they lived happily ever after. Spoilers, sorry, you had 30 years. That was the end of it, and we went on with our lives. But then Coming to America and all the movies that I've done the last 4 years, Coming to America is the only one that became like a cult movie. They show Coming to America on TV so much, it's always on TV, and little lines from the movie become catchphrases, and the mic drop that Randy Watson did became like this thing. People dropped the mic, and then people started dressing up like characters on Halloween, and VH1 started showing Coming to America 24 hours straight at Christmas. So 25 years later, it was like, wow, if we could figure out a way to connect these dots, we could make a Coming to America sequel. There are people that go see it. Does he feel any pressure? No. He said, you feel pressure when there's no anticipation. I felt pressure right before Pluto Nash came out, not this movie. When they want to see this movie, that's a great thing. No pressure at all. And there was no pressure in making the movie because we worked out the script for so long. It's like we had it on paper before we started it. So I never felt any pressure or anything through the production or post-production or while we waited for the movie to come out. What I feel more than anything is I can't wait for people to see it because I'm so proud of how the movie came out. Arsenio Hall was there and joked, it's easier not to feel pressure when you're the star of the film. He pointed at the trophies behind Eddie, saying, all those trophies behind him, that's why he feels that way. I have no trophies behind me. And when a person in the mall said, don't you mess up our movie, I was like, ooh, that's pressure. For me, that's pressure. Eddie says it's been interesting watching the reaction of fans as they await Coming to America, saying, when the first teaser came out, it was being analyzed by all these people on YouTube. They were like, well, what does this mean? I trip off how all the people have this cult thing about the movie, how invested they are in the movie, and that it has to be a certain way and all that, because all that stuff's exciting, because I know we delivered, and I know that we weren't going to do the movie unless we could deliver, and we cracked it out of the park, Coming to America March 5th. I know you tune in on Monday to find out who is comedy's top dog. Last week, defending champion John Mulaney took on Adam Sandler. The winner, handily, John Mulaney. John Mulaney retains the title as comedy's top dog. This week, the new challenger. I'm going to go a different route here. Not somebody I talk about on the show a lot, but this person is tremendously popular. John Mulaney, defending champion, will take on Bert Kreischer, the machine. So what you're going to do is you're going to go to Instagram, go to at Daily Comedy News on the app. You're going to find the picture with the Top Dog logo and a picture of John Mulaney and a picture of Bert Kreischer. And you're going to vote and let me know who is this week's comedy's Top Dog, John Mulaney or Bert Kreischer. The AV Club has a list of TV characters that should be fired. They mentioned Chief Wiggum. Clancy Wiggum displays all the competence and qualifications of a police chief who earned his station by merely being the first volunteer. Wiggum is easily distracted, dangerously lazy, and often dependent on the assistance of the Simpsons children to crack a case, particularly when Sideshow Bob's involved. The show couldn't go on years without at least stripping Wiggum of his badge once or twice, but he ended up crawling his way back each time, though he required a Simpson boost in those events as well. Were it not for Homer taking pity on the destitute Wiggum in Homer versus the 18th Amendment, allowing the once and future lawman to bust up the beer baron bootlegging ring, Springfield would remain under the sober thumb of G-Man Rex Banner. Would the town really be worse off? Wisecrackin' is a virtual live streaming weekly comedy show. It's being developed into a pilot. On Wisecrackin', comedians are pit in a head-to-head competition to write a punchline to a setup they have never seen. The audience votes live on the outcome of each round, all while playing audience challenges throughout the night. That sounds like fun. Vulture spoke to a bunch of anonymous late-night writers. Today's anonymous late-night writer says, joking about Trump sometimes prevented you from crying. Approaching it as a joke writer was a way to stay anesthetized to what was happening. So much of it was torture to have this low dose of it every day. It prevented us from having a day where we just walked around crying. Jimmy Fallon would tell the audience, the goal of the show is to get you relaxed and sleepy before bedtime. It was kind of a self-depreciating joke, but it was also true. The problem is when you need a little levity and you're talking about Trump. The show was looking for a solution, but it might be that there was no answer for the right way for Fallon to be funny and relevant during the Trump years. Wow, that's harsh. Now, I think Jimmy's monologues have been strong. I haven't seen a Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon or any of the late night shows in quite some time. But, you know, I read the monologue jokes on the show here every day, and they seem pretty good. This writer says there should also be a total overhaul when it comes to considering which guest to book. Why is Rahm Emanuel making the circuit lying about Bernie Sanders' gun record? Why was Chris Christie a regular guest on The Late Show? How is that any better than Rick Santorum getting a CNN gig? It's bad enough that these people get booked on regular news shows, but there's no mechanism in place for late-night shows to issue retractions or to hold disingenuous politicians' feet to the fire if they lie. They're not those kind of shows, so stop booking people who always lie. Good stuff from anonymous late-night writer. All right, vote Bert Kreischer the Machine versus John Mulaney. Instagram at Daily Comedy News. Follow the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. If you like what I do here and you'd like to buy me a coffee, buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. See you tomorrow.